Can everybody hear me okay? I'm a little short for this podium. Okay, thank you. My name is Laura Ann, and I'm a PhD student at Texas A&M University. And today I'll be presenting a portion of my research, RNA-seq transcriptome profiling in upland cotton under cotton flea hopper feeding pressure. So first, I'm just going to go through and give you some background information, particularly on the insect and why it's a pest. And then I'll give you an overview of my research and discuss my findings, and then talk about some conclusions that I've drawn from my research. So the cotton flea hopper is the insect I'm going to be discussing today. It's a piercing sucking insect, which means it uses a proboscis to feed on the plant. And the insects overwinter as eggs and then hatch out in the early spring, feed on weedy hosts, and then as those hosts begin to die, they migrate into cotton fields. And typically this migration coincides with the initiation of squaring. And so once they're in the cotton fields, they feed preferentially on the squares. The cotton flea hopper has also been implicated as a pathogen vector, particularly of the genus Pantoea, and this should actually say Pantoea ananastis, not agglomerans. But the bacteria is found in the salivary glands and the gut of the insect, and is transmission takes place during feeding. And so it's thought that this bacteria causes ovary rot, and that that's why the squares upsize when they're fed on by the insect. So previous research looking into host plant resistance mechanisms has focused mainly on the role of leaf pubescence, but a specific resistance mechanism hasn't been nailed down yet. So the objectives of my experiment were to examine transcription level changes in resistant and susceptible lines under cotton flea hopper feeding pressure, and particularly to investigate the role of plant immunity in host plant resistance, and focusing in this presentation on regulation of the hypersensitive response, which is a type of programmed cell death. So the plant material I used one Texas A&M line, TAM07B45, which is susceptible to the cotton flea hopper, and three resistant lines, which I inherited from another cotton flea hopper resistance breeding program. And these lines were derived from a cross of Pylos by a commercial cultivar. And all four of these lines I screened in the field for 3 years, and so that's why I'm able to label them as susceptible or resistant relative to each other. I explored two conditions, exposure to insects, or to cotton flea hoppers, and then no exposure to the insects. Plants were grown in a growth chamber where light cycle and relative humidity were controlled. Approximately 10 days after square initiation, for the treated plants, I caged four adult flea hoppers on the terminal and allowed them to feed for 72 hours before removing them for tissue collection. For the control plants, they had no insects caged on them, so tissue was collected at approximately the same time that, 10 days after initiation of squaring, then theoretical time for feeding, and then tissue collection. So I collected match head size squares into liquid nitrogen and isolated the RNA using the Spectrum Plant Total RNA Kit. Libraries were built using the Illumina TrueSeq RNA Kit, and sequencing was done on the Illumina HiSeq 2000 platform using four lanes of multiplex 100 base pair single end sequencing. The reference sequence I used was Gossypium remundii, and I used CLC Genomics Workbench to map my sequences back to this reference. Data analysis, particularly differential expression, was done using the CuffLinks pipeline, and then I used additional R packages like Cumberbund to do further analysis and generate figures. So now I'll get into my results. And I want to start just by briefly giving you an overview of kind of what I found. So these figures and the figures on the next slide represent the top 20 up and down regulated genes and the protein functions associated with those genes. And TAM07B45 circled in red is my susceptible line. And so mostly what I'd like to point out is that each of my lines showed regulation of transcripts associated with disease and herbivory. And in particular, I'd like to point out the MYB transcription factor, which in other plants is associated with initiation of the hypersensitive response. So these are my other two resistant lines. And again, you see regulation of transcripts involved in disease response and a response to herbivory. And again, the MYB transcription factor. So what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to focus mostly on the hypersensitive response and regulation of this response. So as I mentioned earlier, the hypersensitive response is a type of programmed cell death. So what it is rapid cell death of infected tissues to limit or stop the spread of infection. And typically it's associated with disease resistance. And so the two elements that I'll be discussing today are the BAX1 protein and alternative oxidase. So I'll begin with BAX1 protein. The BAX1 protein is an ER membrane localized protein. It's apoptosis inducing and is typically associated with hypersensitive response and disease resistance. The heat maps that you see here are actually for inhibitor of BAX1, which is a regulator of this protein. So basically what it does is limit the scope of the lesion that's formed by the hypersensitive response. So again, I have TAM07V45, my susceptible line, circled in red. And as you, what you might notice is that the expression profiles for all four lines are pretty similar here. The difference I'd like to point out is the gene that's highlighted here. In the two resistant lines, 18-3 and 20-1, it's highly significantly upregulated when the plants are fed on by insects. You may also notice that my other resistant line, 15-2, barely expresses this gene at all, but I'm going to address that in a few slides. So what I think might be happening here is the plants initiate the hypersensitive response, and the resistant lines do a better job of controlling that response and restricting the size of the lesion that forms. This slide is for alternative oxidase. Again, it's a cell death modulator. It's part of the electron transport chain and moderates the size of the lesion formed by the hypersensitive response by restricting the accumulation of reactive oxygen species. And again, the susceptible line is highlighted in red. So like previous slide, they have very similar expression profiles except for a single gene, which is highly upregulated in plants fed on by insects for two of the resistant lines. And once again, we notice that 15-2, the other resistant line, doesn't show significant regulation of this gene. So leading into my next couple slides, I'd like to take a couple minutes to maybe discuss some preliminary data that I have that I think might explain why this is happening. So as I mentioned earlier, the cotton fleahopper feeds with a proboscis and introduces bacteria while it's feeding. So in 2011, Esquivel developed some equations to estimate penetrance depth of the proboscis of stink bugs, and I've taken those equations and I'm going to be using them to make the same estimates for the cotton fleahopper. So this is really preliminary, but what I did initially was to measure ovary depth in the squares of all four lines. And as you can see from the chart, what I found was that the depth of the ovary in 15-2 is significantly deeper than in the other three lines. And then just taking this very acute angle, 4.18 degrees, where the two segments of the proboscis are almost touching, it's feeding so deeply, I estimated a penetrance depth at about half a millimeter. So given that and given the depth of the ovaries of the four lines, I think it might be safe to assume with further analysis that when the insect is feeding on 15-2, it's not able to penetrate deep enough to penetrate the ovaries, so the infection is not introduced into the ovaries. So maybe that's one of the reasons why that line is not showing an upregulation of the immunity genes that the other three lines are showing. But again, this is pretty preliminary. So in conclusion, all four of my lines, susceptible and resistant, showed upregulation of genes associated with disease response to disease and response to herbivory, and in particular, the MYB genes, which are associated with initiation of the hypersensitive response. And based on the data I presented today, what I think is happening is the difference between susceptible and resistance is not whether or not it's able to mount a defense response or an immunity response, but the control of that response. So in susceptible plants, the squares are shed when the insects feed on the plants. So maybe that's a result of a hyperactive immunity system rather than an immunity system that's controlled and restricts the size of the lesion. So I talked about the BAX1 inhibitor and the AOX inhibitor, or alternative oxidase, which are both controls of the hypersensitive response. And as we just discussed, 15-2 did not show significant regulation of either of those genes, and my preliminary thoughts on that are that the insect is not able to penetrate deep enough into the square to introduce the pathogen into the ovary. So if ovary rot is not occurring, maybe the plant doesn't have a need to upregulate those immune responses. So first I'd like to thank Dr. Alan Knutson, who provided me with the resistant material that I used in this experiment, Amanda Hulse for help with analysis of my results, Dr. Fei Wang, who helped me figure out how to do all the laboratory stuff, Dr. Charlie Johnson for help with experimental design, Nushin Ghaffari, my advisor Steve Haig, everybody at the Cotton Improvement Lab, and Don Jones and Cotton Incorporated for funding. And I will take any questions. Yes.
So when you took your leaf tissue samples for only extraction, did you have biological replications or one sample for each genotype?
Yes, the question is, do I have biological replications? And I guess I forgot to mention that. I did. For each line, I had four plants. So there were 32 total DNA samples, four plants under each condition, fed on condition and not fed on condition.
And then on the sequencing depth, how deep was it?
The question is about my sequencing depth and I honestly don't remember off the top of my head, but it was single end sequencing only. Yes.
Okay, maybe I missed. So when did you take your leaf sample after the insect damage?
The question is, when did I take my samples? I collected squares 72 hours after the insects were put on the plant. So they had 72 hours to feed, and then I removed the insects, and then I collected square tissue. I collected a single square from each plant on which insects had been fed.
Okay. Thank you very much.